Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, gorgeous food and drink. Tonight we have a quick interview with the fabulous Gilly Vachon, who is cooking up a feast for the Cookbook Festival's sort of Burns Night Supper based on the recipes from her book, Spirit and Spice. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you. And thank you for your help today as well.
Yes, we do double up. So yes, full disclosure, I'm part of the Cookbook Festival. And we had a lovely afternoon. We were preparing some cured venison.
That's right. Yeah. So there's a whole selection of things tonight because it's actually pairing the food with whiskey. So it's a mixture of things that are from Speyside, where I live and where the whiskey that we're drinking tonight is from. And then there are other dishes that we're having that are paired with the whiskey because of the flavors within the whiskey. So we're starting with salmon and we're having a green juniper cream with it. We're then moving on to the cured venison that you just mentioned with some wood sorrel and some rowan berries that have been soaked in gin. And then we're having some apricots that have been poached in a rose syrup. And they're filled with labana, which has harissa in it. So you get this little spike of heat as well as the sweetness and the rose. And then pickled grapes to refresh your palate. And the spices in the pickled grapes have really from the whiskey. And then we move on to a scallop, which has kind of licorice flavors through it because that is also within the whiskey. And then on to a spicy sort of laksa. And then refresh your palate with orange salad with dates and pomegranate molasses and a bit of preserved lemon. And then a bit of Stilton, creamy Stilton with a saffron pear. And then a little bit of a chocolate sort of end to everything. So hopefully the whole experience will be like a flavor journey. That's the idea.
Well, speaking of journeys, you can tell through your food. You have delved into the Scottish larder, but before you wrote 40 cookbooks, you traveled the world as a journalist and spent a lot of time in the Middle East. And all of those flavors and all of your... The things that you took along the way, you were soaking up news and culture and food, obviously. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, yes, I mean, I suppose I'm a bit of a kind of a hippie in a way. I mean, I grew up in East Africa, and that's where all of my passion began. I was influenced by all the tastes and flavors around me, and I had the fortune to spend a lot of time with different tribal peoples and different cultures, lots of people from the Indian communities and the Arab communities, as well as all the different African tribes, through my parents' work. And it kind of gave me as a child, like, because, you know, when you're a child, you're like a sponge, and you soak everything up. And I was just always fascinated to go and look in the kitchens or go and just cook stuff and pick stuff in the gardens with some of the people that just lived in huts and villages and things. And it was all just kind of just part of life, but it stayed with me. And so much later on, I studied social anthropology, and that kind of pulled together my passion for culture, and I moved sort of into food. But I did start as a journalist in the Middle East, based in Istanbul. And of course, Turkey is a wonderful place for food, and Istanbul is just, it's just an absolute hot pot of all sorts of different flavors and tastes. And I then moved out of general journalism into food and travel, and that just took me off to Southeast Asia, to India, to North Africa, the kind of cultures that I write about and have written those 40 books on. But a lot of this was before social media, you know, and so a lot of those books, some are out of print, some fortunately are being reprinted, but I just did them because it was a passion, and I love to learn about the culture. So the majority of those books are about the culture. I don't bring myself into them at all until this one, which is a little strange for me, a little uncomfortable to be writing about myself, but that's what the publishers wanted, and I guess that's what people are wanting now.
Well, but you also have an extraordinary story to tell, because although you grew up in East Africa, you are Scottish, and you moved back to Scotland, and you had an extraordinary story stemming from that.
Yeah, I did. There came a point in my life after I just got married when my ex-husband and I sort of decided to try and live in Scotland. Because I kind of felt, you know, I've always been traveling, and I've never actually lived in Scotland. And So we found, the idea was to find a sort of ruin and do it up. And he was a photographer, so he would run sort of photography workshops and I would carry on writing. That sort of, you know, good life idea that people like to have. And we did. We found the ruin and we did work as a photographer, write a team, and we had no electricity, no running water, no phone. And we did our first cookery book together on Turkish food in that house, where we just had a bucket in the snow as a fridge and a little camp cooker to cook the entire book on. And then whenever we had to take a photograph, I would run outside with a mirror and shine any light in the sky back through the window onto the food. And in that time, there'd be insects crawling over the food and dog hair flying up off the floor. So it was a real trial and error. And we had to eat all our mistakes because we're like living quite remote and it's the middle of winter and we had to walk in all the supplies to do the photography. But it was fun, you know, when you're young and you do these things and you just think you're invincible and it's all just part of the fun and you don't worry about the money and all of that kind of thing. But then my husband hopped off and found another woman, and I was left with two little children. And, you know, it was one of those situations where most people thought I should move to the city or something, you know, go and get a proper job. But I decided to stay because the actual place that we got reminded me of Africa, reminded me of my childhood, and I wanted to bring my kids up in that kind of environment. And so I stayed, and during the years that I raised my kids, I wrote books. It was a time when, you know, it was long before internet, so you didn't have to rely on things like social media and all of that kind of stuff. It was very much people bought books. So you actually got a fee to write a book, or you got a decent royalty payment because people were still buying them. And a lot of the cultures I wrote about, there weren't many books on them. So again, it was the love of spending time in the culture. So I wrote lots of books, 40 during that time. I'm not saying they're all good. There's quite a few that are not. But some of them were just written to pay the bills, you know, to fix the roof, to stop the snow from landing on the end of my bed, that kind of thing. And whenever I had to travel, which was frequently because I do a lot of the photographs myself as well, I just take the children with me, you know, and so it started with one on my back and holding the hand of the other, and then they grew up and so on and so forth. And we live very remote, and in the winter we actually have to ski 3 miles a day. So whenever they went to school, they'd have to ski, you know, before getting to the car to go to school, and then ski back home. And they had a kind of magical childhood, you know, and I just feel that's one thing I did right. You know, I gave them the opportunity to be kids, no pressure, just to be kids.
And you also, I believe that you welcome guests to that home.
Yeah, so I do.
People want a taste of this,
yeah,
life.
So over the years, aside from writing the books, I also started working on the radio a lot, and I started running cookery workshops. But then just a few years ago, I kind of turned all of that into hosting whiskey and food experiences for people. And the reason was I actually almost lost my home. You know, I'm sure some of your listeners will know what it's like when you're in that sort of time of your life when your children have grown up, but then suddenly your parents need your attention. And in my case, my father had died, and my mother, I was looking after my mother, but then she developed dementia. And we were in a part of Scotland where there weren't any carers. So I had to become her carer. And during that time, it meant I stopped working. And, you know, as if you're self-employed and you're not earning, well, you know, there are bills to pay, there's a mortgage to pay, and I almost lost everything, and I kind of had to sit and think, what do I do? And I couldn't get a new book off the ground because now you have to have social media, and I didn't have social media. And so I thought, okay, I'm living in a whiskey smuggler's glen. I need to work with whiskey. And so I started to do that, to create food to pair with whiskey, and it all just took off. And then out of the blue, because I started to do Instagram, ironically, a publisher contacted me and asked if I could do this book. So kind of things come full circle.
And I have to say that you are really, I think, have hit the zeitgeist, because you are pairing full-flavored foods, spicy foods, with whiskey, and it's one of the few things that really, really go well with spicy foods.
It is, you know, it's one of those things when, I mean, I love red wine, okay? I'm not always drinking whiskey. you would think that I was, but no, I love red wine. And I mean, if you give me an oozy gorgonzola, I'm not going to turn to whiskey, I'm going to turn to a lovely red wine. But the thing about spicy food is that often it will kill a good wine, you know. It just kind of knocks out the fruit and the full-bodiedness, and you're left with something watery and some tannins and things like that. And what whiskey does, as long as you don't, like if you did a dish that was just like packed with fiery chilies, it might not work so well. But if you kind of taste your whiskey and or read the tasting notes on your whiskey to see what kind of flavors are in there, then you can balance your food with it, and it takes a lot of spice and it actually complements it. So you can bring out the spice within the whiskey, or the whiskey can bring out the spice in the food. And it's just about, if you want to do it properly, it's about kind of stripping back the whiskey and building up in the food. But if you just want to have a little bit of fun and just enjoy your meal simply, then it's just about pairing those spices and flavors.
And as you can hear, we're being hailed to the kitchen. But thank you so much. And for more spirited and spicy women, please go to www.radiogorgeous.com.
Thank you. I'm going to put this on to